The colonel turned over the pages of the documents and drew the lieutenant's attention to the following passage. The accused, Schweik, refused to write the sentences dictated to him, claiming that during the night he had forgotten how to write.
I really attribute no importance whatsoever to what your Schweik or the sapper said at divisional court-martial, lieutenant. They alleged that it was only a question of a little joke which had been misunderstood, and that they were themselves attacked by civilians and defended themselves to protect their military honour. In the course of the investigation, it was established that that Schweik of yours is quite a rascal. Of course, on behalf of regimental command, I've seen to it that in the name of divisional court-martial, all newspapers must publish corrections of these rubbishy articles in the local papers here. Today these corrections will be sent out, and I hope I've done everything to repair what took place as a result of the rascally conduct of those Hungarian civilian journalist bastards. I tell you that a Czech soldier is much more to my taste than any pack of Hungarian bastards. You've been able to see for yourself, Lieutenant, what splendid use those Hungarians have made of your little adventure in Kiralida.
The colonel patted him familiarly on the shoulder.
You don't need to say anything. I have my own opinion of the whole matter. You got involved with the woman, her husband came along, and that stupid Schweik of yours. But, you know, Lieutenant, that Schweik of yours must have some character, after all, considering the trick he pulled with your letter. One really feels sympathy for such a man. I like the bastard. Yeah, the proceedings have definitely got to be stopped in this respect, Lieutenant. You've been vilified in the newspapers. But now your presence here is quite unnecessary. In a week's time, an infantry battalion will be sent to the Russian front. You're the most senior officer in the 11th Company, and you'll go with it as commander. Everything has been arranged. Tell the quartermaster sergeant major to find you another batman to replace that Schweik.
Lieutenant Lukash looked gratefully at the colonel, who continued,
I assign Schweik to you as company orderly.
The lieutenant turned pale, and the colonel got up and offered him his hand.
Well, everything is settled now. I wish you good luck so that you can distinguish yourself on the Eastern Front. And if by any chance we should meet again, come and join us. Don't avoid our company as you did in Budyovice.
In office number 8 of the divisional court, behind a long table with a pile of documents, sat Judge Advocate Ruller. A volume of the legal code lay before him, and a half-consumed glass of tea stood on top of it. On the table on the right stood a crucifix made out of imitation ivory with a dusty Christ, who looked despairingly at the pedestal of his cross, on which there were ashes and cigarette stubs. To the renewed regret of the crucified Jesus, Judge Advocate Ruller was at this very moment flicking the ash from another cigarette onto the pedestal of the crucifix. With his other hand, he was raising the glass of tea which had got stuck to the legal code. When he had freed the glass from the embrace of the code, he turned over the pages of a book which he had borrowed from the officers' club. It was a book with the promising title, Research into the History of the Development of Sexual Morals. He was staring at the reproduction of drawings of male and female sexual organs discovered by the author on the walls of the toilets in West Berlin railway station, and so paid no attention to the men who now entered the room. He only pulled himself away from examining the reproductions when Voditschka coughed.
"What's the matter?" he asked, turning the pages.
"Beg to report, sir," answered Schweik. "My friend Voditschka has caught cold and is now coughing."
Judge Advocate Ruller looked up at Schweik and Voditschka.
"And so you come at last, you bastards," he said,
ferreting about in the pile of papers on his desk.
"I had you summoned for 9 o'clock, and now it's almost 11. What do you mean by standing like that, you bloody great ox?" he asked Voditschka, who had taken the liberty of standing at ease. "Only when I say at ease can you do what you like with your shanks."
"Oh, beg to report, sir," put in Schweik. "He has rheumatism."
"You shut your trap," said Judge Advocate Ruller. "Speak when you're given permission."
He took from a heap of documents a voluminous file with the inscription, Schweik and Voditschka.
Don't think that because of a stupid brawl you'll be able to loll about in the divisional court and get out of service at the front. The proceedings against you both are quashed. Each of you is going to his unit, where he'll be punished and after that sent with an infantry company to the front. If ever you get into my clutches again, you vermin, I'll make such a mess of you that you won't be able to recognize yourselves. Here are your release warrants, and now behave yourselves respectably. Take them to number two.
Beg to report, sir, said Shfake. We both take your words to heart, and we thank you very much for your kindness. At the same time, we must both beg your pardon for giving you so much bother. We really don't deserve your kindness.
Well, now, get the hell out of it, shouted the judge advocate. If Colonel Schroeder hadn't put in a word for you both, I don't know what might have happened to you.
In the office, all the formalities were completed very quickly. A sergeant major, with a mouth still greasy from lunch, gave Shfake and Voditschka their documents with a frightfully solemn expression. When Shfake said goodbye to Voditschka before each of them was taken off to his unit, he said,
When the war's over, come and see me. You'll find me every evening from 6 o'clock onwards in the chalice at Naboyshta.
Of course I will, answered Voditschka.
They parted, and when they were already several paces away from each other, old Sapper Voditschka called,
Shfake, what kind of beer do they have at the chalice?
And Shfake's answer came like an echo.
The best. And they've got girls there too.
Very well then, shouted Voditschka. At 6 o'clock in the evening, when the war's over.
So it was that the good soldier Shfake and the old sapper Voditschka parted. As the German saying goes, when people part, they say, till we meet again.